broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP, Cullman.
Good afternoon, Cullman. It's 4 o'clock on Thursday and a whopping 39.7 degrees outside. You might think it's Christmas time or something. And before we get to talking about sports, well, if you haven't got your Christmas with Elvis tickets yet, that concert is tomorrow night and it is at the Civic Center. So that's where you can get your tickets, over at the Civic Center. Time now for Sports Talk Live, brought to you a service of our friends over at People's Bank. And to tell you more about what's happening in the sports world, well, here's Jason and Ronnie.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
All right.
Have y'all on the wrong microphones, obviously. Oh. I'll get it fixed. Go ahead.
All something, right. Ronnie's jumping around like them Mexican jumping beans in here.
I think my ear was bleeding after that. Hello, Jay.
All right. Back with you on a Thursday, our one day of the week now.
That's right.
Since things have slowed down. And
nice summer afternoon.
Oh, it's nice out
there. Yeah, it is.
I'm actually glad to see cold weather, though, Ronnie. It's,
yeah.
It's time for it. Christmas is not meant to be 80 degrees.
No, it's not. You know, and hey, I can remember not in the very recent past is, you know, wearing shorts and t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Being Christmas, you know. So, but I'm with you. You know, Christmas time is not for being a little cold.
Cold weather. And my brother, you know, lived down in Orlando, and he would talk about blistering from the sun, putting up his Christmas lights. Mowing the grass, you know, Christmas Eve.
Got to get your wife, make sure you get your sunscreen on before you go out and put up Christmas lights. Hey, that's weird. That's a strange sensation.
Yeah, did. Ronnie, did I miss anything? I know I didn't get to see the ball game, but
you didn't.
I didn't miss a whole lot.
You did not miss anything. It was just, for lack of better words, I guess, as it went on, it was just boring.
Like a lot of Alabama games.
Like a lot of Alabama games, it turned out to be boring.
What's more entertaining, watching the football game or watching Nick Saban's press conference?
Oh, Nick Saban's press conference.
Being on a cruise.
Jason, it's being on a cruise, which is why he didn't watch the ball game.
Can you believe this?
Low life dog.
Wouldn't you think you pay good money to go on a cruise, no matter what room you get, you pay good money to go on a cruise.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you think you would get more than four or five stations?
On your TV?
Every other channel with something about the cruise or no smoking or no doing this, no doing that.
And Jason, then, I don't know very many people who go on cruises to watch TV, my friend.
Hey, when there is a ball game on the...
Okay.
You can tell Jason's in his 50s now.
Right.
He's going on a cruise. He's complaining because the darn TV doesn't have it four stations.
I'll tell you how old I really am, man. And I wouldn't admit this to just anybody. But
86?
Radio, I guess I am admitting it to everybody.
Yeah.
We didn't get to get off at our first island because of the wind, and you probably saw that, but because we had to get out in the little boats and it was too windy, so we went on to Nassau, which made us stay in an extra day in Nassau. We got off the first evening, went into Nassau and bought some stuff.
Yeah.
The next day, wasn't a whole lot to do. We actually stayed in the room and watched two back-to-back movies. So 4 hours of our day was spent watching movies.
And you paid a nice price to go on that cruise. You stayed in the room and watched
right,
old movies.
But I paid a real nice price for that room, so I was going to stay in it all I could.
Oh, man. What a...
At least they were up to date enough to have, like, in-room movies.
Yeah.
Right?
Boy, that time's changed, Jason.
Yeah, and...
If you'd have gone on a cruise 25 years ago... Would you have been complaining about the TV and watching 4 hours of movies?
I wouldn't have known if there was a TV in the room.
And wouldn't have cared.
And I actually thought of that.
Oh.
Started leaving out from Miami. I looked down at the pool and all the people, younger people down there, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I thought, boy, if I was back about that age, I would have been right down there in the middle of it.
Yeah, now you don't want to be around them.
No. Uh-uh.
You just stay in your room like a hermit.
Yeah. Nothing bothers you worse than a drunk, unless you're drunk.
Unless you're one of them. That's right.
It.
That's exactly right. But, hey, glad you had a great trip. I know you did, and glad you're back. But, again, you know, the ball game was nothing to speak of. It turned out basically like everyone expected it to. A dominating performance again, not only offensive but defensively, because the offense really didn't do much at all the first half. It was all offense, you know. I'm sorry, it was all defense. And, yeah, we had some nice interceptions, ran back for a touchdown. But let's give Florida some some credit. I guess you would say credit. It wasn't necessarily great defensive plays we were making. They were just throwing it right to us.
Giving it to you.
Yeah. So, you know, it turned out kind of like it expected. But, so, you know.
I'm going to make an early prediction. Yeah. The first round of the playoffs won't be any better.
I think you're probably right.
In Alabama's case.
I think you're probably right. I think the line last time I saw it, and you keep up with that stuff more than I do, it was maybe 14, 15, yeah, something like that.
I think
that.
14 and a half is what I saw.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think.
And if it stays that, I'm going to be on the Alabama side as long as it stays below 20.
Yeah. I think it's certainly going to be more than that. Now, I didn't think the Florida would be 24 and a half, but it was, you know, certainly more than that. But I think Alabama beats Washington by more than 14, 14 and a half.
Yeah. The other game may be a good one. Clemson.
Oh, I really look forward to that. Yeah, Clemson, Ohio State. I think that'll be a great matchup. I think Ohio State's about a 3-point favorite in that one.
Believe it or not, I've not even looked at it.
Yeah, they are. Now, this is when I looked at it the other day. Ohio State was a 3-point favorite. So, you know, the second game or the Clemson Ohio State should be the better game, you would think. Alabama really hasn't, you know, whether you like them, whether you don't, they haven't really been challenged all year. Maybe the Ole Miss game early in the year.
If you're Alabama and you are Alabama,
yeah.
Which team had you rather play?
Ohio State.
You'd rather play Ohio State?
Yeah. I think Deshaun Watson's just that darn good.
Yeah, he's good.
I mean,
and when he's on,
you know, and he lit Bama up last year. I mean, what, they put 40 on the board?
Yeah.
So for me, I'd much rather take my chances playing against JT Barrett than I had Deshaun. So that's my take on it.
We'll find out later what Chris and Dan both think. They'll be joining us today as usual.
So. Absolutely. So again, you know, this is 3 years in a row Alabama has, correct me if I'm wrong here, 3 years, I should have looked this up. This is embarrassing. They've won the SEC 3 years in a row? No.
Yeah, probably so.
They've beaten Auburn 3 years in a row because, you know, and I talked about it being Alabama win two, Auburn win one. Alabama two, Auburn one.
Auburn 1-13, Alabama 14-15, this will be 16.
Yeah. That's how, for lack of a better word, disinterested to a degree Alabama fans have gotten over winning the SEC.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, that's just nature.
I mean, that's with anybody. If you've done the same thing, it don't matter. It's not going to be a big deal anymore.
Exactly. So, hey, another big news going on. Apparently, or at least it's been thrown around or tossed around that Lane Kiffin will be leaving the University of Alabama, going to Houston. I don't know if that's been made official yet.
Look, while we're talking about it, I think it pretty much has, but.
I think the president of the university has to sign off on it. And the last I'd seen, he had not done that yet. Not that he won't, but I think it just hadn't got to him maybe yet. Doesn't surprise me that he's moving on, you know, to some head coaching position. I didn't necessarily know or think it would be Houston, but I think it's time for, you know, I think it's time for Kiffin to you know, get back in the saddle again as a head coach.
Nothing I see updated on ESPN, so it's still, as you said, probably 99% he's going, but the I's hadn't been dotted and the T's crossed.
Exactly. Probably working out maybe details.
Hey, sorry. What about the rumor mill that Auburn may have a quarterback in the works?
Well, I haven't heard that one.
You've not heard that one?
No, I haven't heard that. So who is it supposed
to? You're kidding
me. I promise. I have not heard it. With my hand up.
Freshman or former freshman quarterback from Baylor who left after the big scandal.
Okay. I knew he had been seen in Auburn.
Yeah, it was the number, I think when he come out, the number four quarterback in the nation. And what he played, I think started two or three games and put up some really impressive
numbers. So is he going to be the next Jeremy Johnson coming in?
Well, he could be. He will be the next quarterback if he comes to Auburn.
So is that where he's going?
He's supposed to announce next week, and it's between Auburn and Florida. So,
Auburn or Florida.
And the people who are supposed to know, I don't know what they know,
yeah,
but are giving the lean to Auburn, but okay. Who knows?
So will he be able to play immediately?
Eligible. He set out this year, so
okay,
he'll be eligible immediately.
So he will. Will he be a sophomore then?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they need one.
Oh, yeah, and he would be a perfect fit for the system.
And if they don't get one, you're going to get the same result.
Yeah.
Come next year.
You got anything local running before we get into the national stuff with?
Yes and no. Yes, in that I want to congratulate Holly Pond High School. You may have seen it. Their boys have come. The rankings have been released, and they are number 2 in Class 3A.
Number 2.
So,
wow.
You and I, we talked a little bit about them earlier, and that was one of the things we talked about. We thought was going to have a really good club. I tell you someone else, and I have to look. Is the Cold Springs girls? And I will pull
freshman we talked about. I don't know her name, but she is lighting it up.
She can go. She can go.
I think she had 33 the other night.
Mm-hmm.
18 in the third quarter.
So
freshman
has a younger brother. Plays. I think he's a seventh grader. I think he's about 6'1", something like that.
I have some exciting news.
Yes.
Somebody replaced the share cushion in your back.
Do what?
Somebody replenished the shared kitchen in the back. There's like pretzels and stuff back there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you was playing that game where you stick that thing in your mouth and try to say sentences and people trying to guess what you're saying.
There'll be food in the back.
Well, we'll visit it at the next birthday.
That's good news. That's good news.
It's always good when you share with other businesses. Common kitchen. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And those of us who work here, we appreciate y'all contributing to the fun when you do. So it's good.
Ronnie, another news I want to ask you about. What do you think about Ole Miss, the move Ole Miss moved, firing the co, not the offensive coordinator, the co-offensive coordinator?
Well, Jason, we all know that.
Is that not just a, you're killing a gnat when the bees are swarming?
Well, yeah, I agree. But who else, you're talking co-coordinator, who is the other coordinator? I mean, who is it?
I don't know.
Hugh Freeze?
Oh, yeah, I guess it is, yeah.
So
he does call his own plays.
He calls his own plays. So, if you've had a season where you won 4 or 5 games, somebody's got to go. And in this case, it was the, as you said, the co-offensive coordinator and someone, I think somebody on the defensive side as well. And as well as I do, once these sanctions come down from the NCAA, they may be looking for a head coach too.
Yeah, I think they will be.
And that's what I'm hearing from a lot of people. That Hugh Freeze may have coached his last game at Ole Miss.
And I thought, and he probably is a great guy, probably caught up in the, I don't know what you would call it, but the pressure to win and the college game and probably got in over his head. But I really didn't think you would see Hugh Freeze caught up in something like that. Like Gus Malzahn, I don't ever see him, and he may be – I'm sure he's doing things illegal like everybody else.
Well, sure.
I don't ever see him getting caught up in one of these big scandals. Now, he may surprise me, like Hugh Freeze did.
Right.
But
you just never.
I don't see Nick Saban. I see when I see scandal, and this is coaches that hadn't been there, Will Muschamp.
I
can very easily see him.
Right.
Lane Kiffin.
Yeah. Hey, and Jason, one of the things we talked about Auburn earlier was we tossed around the idea that Lashley may be going to Georgia State, getting that. That talk was up, was going on, but from last I've heard, Georgia State has hired a head coach.
I haven't been hired. I'm behind on everything.
Yeah, they have hired Sean Elliott, who was the offensive line coach at South Carolina. So Georgia State job is out of the picture for Rhett Lashley, so I don't know.
He'll probably be back at Auburn.
He probably will. I haven't heard his name tossed around, anywhere else. So, several college jobs still open, Jason. Baylor just recently hired a new coach who came from Temple. Cincinnati is looking for a head coach there, Tommy Tuberville.
I didn't even know that.
Yep, Tommy Tuberville is no longer there. So
fired or resigned?
I don't know.
Which resign is just a
way of telling you can resign or we'll fire you. Exactly right. Florida International, they've hired a new coach. You remember Butch Davis, you remember coached at Miami, right, and then was on ESPN. He is there as well. Fresno State job was open. It's been filled by Jeff Tedford. Georgia State, the team we talked about, hired by has hired Sean Elliott from South Carolina. Houston certainly is still looking for a head coach, but apparently it's going to be Lane Kiffin. These are just jobs that were open already. University of Indiana job was open. Tom Allen has been hired there. LSU job was open. Hired Ed Orgeron. Certainly some of these we don't know anything about. Nevada job, it was open. Jay Norvell has been hired there. Oregon job was open. Willie Taggart will be the new head coach at Oregon. He was formerly the head coach of South Florida. So,
musical chairs.
Yeah. Several more. Purdue, they've hired a new coach. San Jose State still has not. Temple will have to replace theirs. Certainly Texas hired, Tom Herman from Houston. South Florida looking for a coach. And now Western Kentucky, is also looking for a coach because, he has taken another job. He took the Purdue job. So a lot of jobs, have been open. Some still are. So, still some opportunities for some guys out there.
I expect mine or your phone to be ringing for one of those jobs.
Mine has. Oh, it did. I was going to call you and see if, yeah, just wasn't enough money.
Well, if you get on, just hire me as an assistant and I'll turn down the rest of
them. We'll make you the AD.
No, I don't want any pressure.
Oh, you don't want any keys?
I want to be like the.
You don't want a title.
I want a title.
Okay.
But I want it to be something like something special teams assistant. Something
to the assistant.
Yeah. I want a lot of money and no pressure.
Okay. Well, that'll be easy to find, I'm sure.
Yeah.
but those are just some of the schools that are currently with coaches or with new coaches, let's say.
Hey, what do you think, Ronnie, coming up bowl season, and we've got a long time to talk about
sure,
these games,
yeah,
but what do you think about the Auburn matchup with Oklahoma?
I say this honestly. I don't mean it in an insult in any way.
Well, that's what I'm
two things.
Take it.
Well, I don't think Auburn is going to beat Oklahoma. I just do not see that. Now, I'm not. Now, let me say this: Oklahoma is not good at all defensively. They are not.
But if Auburn don't have a quarterback,
yeah, you're exactly right. If Auburn plays similar to the way it played against Alabama, it makes no difference whether defense is good or not, because the offense is going, you know, they're going to make enough mistakes to give you the ball back. So I just see Oklahoma winning that. Honestly, I see Oklahoma winning that in a decisive way. And I also say this, and again, I'm not trying to pick on or insult Auburn, but if your second best team, and that's what the Sugar Bowl is, essentially, if your second best team in the SEC has four losses, that doesn't say a whole lot for your
What's
conference.
What's Oklahoma record?
They've lost, I think, three.
Okay, not a lot better.
Yeah. Well, two or three.
They may be a lot better team, but
yeah,
their record.
Yeah. But what does that say for the SEC?
Oh yeah, the SEC worst.
You
year
take
I remember,
take man. Alabama out. How long has it been since every team has a minimum of three losses?
You know, Dan kept saying 2000, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
2000, and he's probably right. I'm not saying he's
That's
not,
right.
but I just don't remember 2000 being this bad.
Yeah.
It's the worst year I remember.
It is. It's a bad year for Southeastern Conference. I don't know if the conference has I'm not throwing off on coaches, you know. I'm just not doing that. But does the SEC have the quality, the name of coaches that they have had in years past?
Well, they got rid of one, Les Miles.
There's one. You know, Steve Spurrier retires. Let's look at it like this: every SEC school has changed head coaches at least once since Nick Saban came into the conference in 2007.
Yeah, that's not long ago.
That is not long ago. And every school has a new coach. So I don't know. I don't know what that says for the conference. I just know this. The conference was not very good.
No.
Again, you got Alabama undefeated, and the next closest one is Florida, and they now have four losses, I believe. And Auburn has four, you know, Auburn has four as well. So
Alabama handed a lot of those teams, one of them, but there's still three others.
That's right.
So,
you know, and some of those losses were within the conference, and some were against people that it was not in the conference.
We always have a, say, Alabama at 12-0 or 11-1, and then you usually have somebody coming in at 10-2 or something like that.
Yeah.
This year, not a.
No.
So.
It's just a down year for the conference.
Brightside, SEC looking pretty good in basketball for a change.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, the season just starting.
Just getting started. Auburn playing well. I think they've lost, when I looked last, they lost only one game. They were 6-1. Now they may have played one since then.
I think Alabama and Auburn, both basketball the next couple of years.
I think they're going to be much improved.
Right.
Bama still has a long way to go. I watched them play the other day or a few days ago against Texas. Looked good the first half, up by 12, and give up 51 points the second half and get beat. Looked like two completely different teams. Offensively, they were good the first half. Second half, they were atrocious. I think they scored 19 or so the second half. It was bad. But I'm with you, Jason. There's light at the end of the tunnel. They're going to get better. Auburn is going to get better. Auburn's already better because it all comes down to how well you can recruit. And both Avery Johnson and Bruce Pearl can recruit.
Right.
So
right.
Give them a little bit of time. Give them another year or a couple more years. I think you'll start seeing more excitement for Alabama and Auburn basketball. And that's a good thing for the state.
I've not seen any excitement over Auburn basketball since Chris Porter played at Auburn, and that's been
20 years.
Yeah, it's probably been 20 years. It's been long.
I mean, I remember that name and I remember that player, but there's not many people that's going to remember that. Mm. Even Auburn people, a lot of people are not going to remember that. So, I'm excited for the state in basketball. I want to be able to go to a basketball game and be entertained.
Oh yeah.
You know,
it'd be nice to be able to go see a good basketball.
Absolutely, you know, I don't care. I'd be glad to drive to Auburn. I'd be glad to go to Tuscaloosa to see a good ball game. So we just, you know, hope that occurs, and I think it will. I mean, they're not there yet. Neither one of them are. But if they can again continue to recruit well, you know, stay around those close to those top 10 classes, they can certainly be competitive.
4:24. At 4:25, we'll go to a break, and then when we come back, it'll be time for Mr. Chris Andrews out of Las Vegas, Nevada, going to give us an early look at the college football playoff and the top four or five bowl games. I don't know if he'll have a prediction for us yet or not.
But probably not.
He'll talk about the lines and let us know what's going on there and see if any rumors going around we don't know of. So stay with us. Sports Talk Live 95.5. We'll be right back.
December 9th at the Coleman Civic Center. The music, the moves, the memories of the king lives on. Christmas with Elvis, the ultimate tribute event as Stephen Freeman performs Elvis's Christmas gospel and rock and roll hits live on stage. Advance tickets on sale at kingtributelive.com and the Coleman Civic Center. One night with you, Coleman, to prove Elvis is still the king. Don't miss Christmas with Elvis at the Coleman Civic Center, Friday, December 9th at 7:30. Visit kingtributelive.com for more information.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump,
Zumba, Cardio Sculpt, or Dance Fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors-only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I'd like to invite you to our Christmas concert Monday, December 12th at 7 p.m. in the Betty Leith Haynes Theater at Wallace State College. This concert is part of the Coleman Community Concert Association series. This year's program is shaping up to be the best yet. There will be something for everyone. Be sure to bring the kids because Santa plans to make an appearance. Again, the concert is Monday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at Wallace State College. Admission is free. Canned food donations will be accepted for Coleman Caring for Kids.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
.27 Sports Talk Live, and Chris will be joining us shortly. We're trying to work out some technological issues between Ronnie and myself here, and that is a challenge.
That take a while for the
two of us. That's
that is for sure.
Ronnie, talk a little bit while I try this.
You're trying to figure something out there.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure something
out. Well, best of luck to you. Jason's locally. Some things that are going on basketball-wise next week will be the middle school county tournament. I think it starts on Monday, and it will finish on Saturday. So they'll be crowning the 2016-2017 middle school champions next
Saturday. Now, where will
Saturday.
That be?
That is held at Good Hope.
Good Hope.
So it'll be played in the Good Hope High School gym. There. So if you want to see some young kids, some seventh and eighth graders, boys and girls playing some basketball, kind of getting a preview of what the varsity teams may have, you know, in a couple of years, 2 or 3 years or so, check out the county tournament next week down at Good Hope for the middle school. So, I believe Parkside is the number one seed, maybe then West Point. So there's several teams that have a chance to win that, both boys and girls. So check it out.
Good deal. Good deal. I think I heard Jay talking to Chris, but I don't know if he's got him on the line yet or not. So.
Yeah, he's there.
All right, Chris, welcome to Sports Talk Live. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Hey, we're great.
Hey, Chris, how are you, man?
Some of us
good. How was the holidays?
Oh, it was great. For some of us, it's better. You know, Jason, did you know that he went on a cruise? Did you know that?
I did know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, somebody's got to do it, Chris.
So. You didn't get seasick or anything, did you?
Hey, my wife the first night wasn't able to eat. It was pretty rough going out, the wind blowing and so. But after that, everything was fine. So.
Okay, I'm sure you made up for it at the buffet table.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He made his money back. That's for sure.
Good for him.
Hey Chris, let me ask you: what are your thoughts on the last poll that came out with Alabama be playing Washington and Ohio State playing Clemson? What's your thoughts on that? Start with.
Well, you guys know I'm a Penn State guy, so I honestly can't disagree with the committee under the mantra that they had, which was to pick the four best teams. I honestly don't think Penn State is one of the four best teams, you know. And I think they did pick probably the best four. You know, you can make a little case for Penn State. I wouldn't myself. You can make a case for Michigan. But, again, they lost, like, two of their last three, so right. I wouldn't make a case for them either. You know, it's funny, USC's probably playing as good as anybody, but, you know, they have three losses. It'd be really hard to do that. You know, so I can't beef with that. Now, I do have a beef, though, with the way this is set up. You know, and it's not just because Penn State got stiffed. I think that they really have to have an eight-team format, and you have to reward the conference champions. And, you know, I think that's really the only fair way to do it. I mean, Penn State did beat Ohio State on the field, so that's one thing. But the other thing I would say, too, is you look at, like, Oklahoma. You know, they started out the year really bad, but they also did play Houston, who a lot of people thought would be the number one team out of the five other conferences. Right. And then they played Ohio State, too. You know, so, I mean, if they had, you know, Lamar and Abilene Christian on their schedule, they'd be undefeated, and they'd probably be in the playoff. Right. You know, so I really think that they have to change it up. And, you know, you have to go to an 18 playoff. You get five conference champions and then, you know, three at large, whether you want the smaller conference champions or, you know, teams like a Michigan or Ohio State or, you know, whoever that is. But I think you have to reward the champions.
I agree. Hey, Chris, and I saw something the other day where the NCAA president is also saying he would like to have that expanded to eight teams.
Well, I think it's only right, and I, you know, I was looking at some of them, and I can't speak for all of them, but I know, like, the ACC championship, I mean, they were literally giving away tickets just to get people in the stands. You know, and I don't know how the SEC championship game went. You know, the Big Ten one was pretty good because you have two teams that really travel exceptionally well in Wisconsin and Penn State. But I think that, you know, some of the teams, like Alabama, you know, and I know Saban got hot at the writer for saying it, but it was true. The game was almost like an exhibition game for Alabama. They were going to the playoff, and they were going to be the number one seed, win or lose.
Correct.
And I just don't think that's right. And, you know, Clemson's the one team that hasn't really played very well, but, you know, if they just held on against Virginia Tech, which they did, they knew they were going to go and be, you know, a number two seed. And, you know, Ohio State just stayed home and they were a number three seed. So I really think, you know, you have to allow these championship games to actually mean something, and they really should.
Hey, Chris, if you are the top man at the NCAA and it's in your ballpark, you can do this playoff any way you want to, design it, form it, whatever. How does Chris do it? What is the best route to a playoff?
Well, I'd have the top four seeds, you know, play a home game. You know, I guess maybe Thanksgiving weekend or, you know, something like that. I would just have them be at home. And, you know, again, I'd get the five conference champions and three at-large teams. You know, I don't know if you want to invite a Western Michigan. You know, that's debatable. You know, I don't know if you want to go that route. You know, but they maybe could be rewarded for a team. But, you know, if we're going to argue about the 8-9 team, I mean, Western Michigan's not going to go in and beat Alabama. Not with everything on the line. But I would have the top, you know, you get your eight teams and the top four seeds play a home game. And then the final two rounds, you know, similar to what we have now, you know, two neutral sites utilizing the bowl games. And then a final, you know, wherever we decide to have it, Jerry Jones Stadium or in Phoenix or wherever. But I do think also a team like Ohio State, or, you know, or Michigan or Penn State or something like that, if you're one of the top four seeds, you know, let's see some of these teams go into, Columbus in December or late November and go play. You know, I'm a Big Ten guy, so I want to go see, let's see USC go up there. Let's see Alabama go up there and play in the snow or in some bad weather rather than in more perfect conditions. And let's see what happens. I think you'd see a lot of upsets with, like I said, some of these Big Ten teams or some of these northern teams.
Yeah. I'm with you, Chris. I don't see why it would be that complicated. I'm sure there are issues out there that I don't have a clue about. You may, I don't know, or Jason, but I'm with you. I think eight teams would be perfect. You're adding one additional game, and then you're back to your four team playoff after that first round. So I don't see where it's. I just don't see where it's a big, huge issue.
I don't either, and I'm not sure why this. You know, college football's always been run like that. you know, forever and ever. I mean, the NCAA tournament for basketball, I mean, every single team literally has a chance to play its way into the tournament from the beginning of the season. You know, you could be 0-16 in your conference, but if you win that conference tournament, you're going on to the NCAA. So every team has their chance to do it, and we don't allow that in football, and I really can't give you a good reason why. I know they tell you about tests and all that. You know, right. We all know that's a bunch of crap.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I mean, we know it.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know why they have a resistance.
They've got to have that book time. You know those football players are worried about that.
But I'm with you guys. I don't see how it could be all that complicated. If, as you said, Chris, you can put now 65 teams into the NCAA men's basketball tournament. I think it's makes for a great tournament. It makes for excitement.
Sure.
Because there's going to be there's many of those upsets that happen every single year in the, you know, in the basketball, the NCAA basketball tournament. You know, you may not have a 16 to beat a 1, but you're going to have a lot of 10s, winning games. So, to me, that's just the excitement of it. So I would love to see, another round, if you want to call it that, of football games.
Yeah, and Ronnie, you know, you look the week before that too, when you get into the conference tournaments, like I said, it means something, you know, because if you're, let's say you're aboard, you know, Kansas, they're going to go into the big, they know they're going in, so it's not that big to them. You know, but maybe if you're, Kansas State or Iowa State, your only chance is to win the tournament. Well, those kids are playing their hearts
sure.
out, you know. And if you take, like, this last weekend of college football, you know, take a Virginia Tech or a Florida or Wisconsin or Penn State. You know, those kids are going to be playing all out because they know their only way into the tournament is to win that game.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think it would make a great, not only a great 18 tournament, but the week before when they do the conference finals, that would be, it'd add a lot more drama to that too. So to me, it's a no-brainer, but, there's a lot of things in this world that I think are no-brainers that just don't happen. So
exactly.
Add that to the list.
Hey, Chris, the games coming up, do you know the lines on both of those games? Ronnie and I were talking about before the show. We knew the Alabama line or what we had saw, but have no idea about Clemson, Ohio State.
Well, Ohio State, I've been back and forth between 3.5 and 3. Ohio State the favorite. When I'm at 3, they bet me Ohio State. When I go to 3.5, they bet me Clemson. So, you know, we've just been back and forth. Let me see what I got right now. I tell you the truth, I can't even keep track. We're 3.5 right now. So we got money on Ohio State. And, matter of fact, I'm looking now. They've taken the 3.5 back pretty good. I should probably get the 3. And then, the other game, we opened 14. We're all the way up to 16 now with
16.
Alabama. So it's been all Alabama.
All
money.
Alabama.
All Alabama money, yeah, so far. So, I think it's a little bit of a high number myself, but, you know, long way to go till post time.
Yeah, Chris, talking about that, do you foresee that Alabama, that 16, going higher, or do you think that's about the peak?
No, I think it's going to go higher from here. I think we'll get to 17 before we start seeing any real serious money back the other way. I think it'll get to 17 myself. So if I was betting on the game, I think I would hold on a little bit and wait till I got a little bit more in my pocket if I was looking to bet Washington.
What about the other top bowl game? Let's start with Auburn, Oklahoma.
Are they playing? I didn't know Auburn was in it. No, I'm sorry.
Chris, if they don't have a quarterback, they might as well. But you have heard the rumor, right, that the Baylor quarterback may be coming to save the day at Auburn. So.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah. We're at 4.5, Oklahoma the favorite. That's where we opened it. Not a whole lot of business on that game yet. I see it as low as 4 in some spots. I see it as high as 5 in others. Like I said, we're right in the middle at 4.5, which I thought was a pretty good number myself. I'm not sure who I like in this one. But, we'll see where this one goes too. I'm not sure where. But some smart people that I've heard on both sides of this one.
Okay. Let me give you one more, and then I'll let Ronnie throw something at you. Let's talk about your team, and talk about the game also coming up with USC and the Rose Bowl.
Well, I think the number might be just a shade high. I thought it would be more like 5.5 or 6. USC's a 7-point favorite. All the money, though, is on USC. I have to say that. It's not real big at this point. But, you know, Penn State's just one of those teams that really kind of figured out what they really were. You know, I think there was like a transition. You come out of the Joe Paterno era, you know, it was very conservative. Bill O'Brien kind of opened up things a little bit more during his tenure. And then this year, you know, when James Franklin, so it's Franklin's third year, he brought in a new offensive coordinator, the guy that he'd been with for a while, who I thought did okay, but I think, you know, he wanted to have a real change. And this is a real change. You know, they got that McSorley kid, real smallish kind of guy, but a tremendous arm and very mobile. Really knows the game of football, too. Just has those great football instincts. Then they got Shaquon Barkley, a kid who could really run. And they got an offensive line that's gotten better and better as the season has gone on. Now, that being said, they're playing against a USC team that I would say the same thing. They found their quarterback, that Darnold kid, and that really has turned their season around. And you know, I knocked that Coach Helton more than anybody, but maybe he's kind of figured out some things, too, because they're really playing terrific ball. They have a lot of talent. I think the game's going to be somewhat high-scoring. I see the total is like 62. That sounds about right, but there's going to be a lot of points on the board. And I think I like Penn State. I'm not sure I'd pull major money out of my pocket to bet it. But I think the number's just a little bit too high because I think Penn State can score on these guys, and I think they will. And I think even if USC takes a lead, the back door is going to be wide open for Penn State, and they can put some points up.
Okay, I'm going to let Ronnie talk to you while I come up with y'all a few questions for the end of the show.
Okay.
I can remember I didn't get one of the last ones right.
That's right.
I remember. Yeah, I remember.
I got shut out. Hey, Chris, I want to ask you about the coaching change that they made at Oregon where, you know, Mark Helfrich is now out. Did you find that as surprising? And if so, and then they hired Willie Taggart, who was was the coach at South Florida. So what do you think about that hire? But first of all, were you shocked at the firing?
You know, I was reading up on it, you know, I was a little bit surprised, yeah, because I saw the buyouts were like $17 million,
right,
for Helfrich and his staff, and I thought they would like take one more year because there was some sort of a clause where if they went 2 years in a row with a sub-500 record, that buyout went way down, and then actually they'd get another year of coaching out of them too. Right. So I was somewhat surprised there. But, you know, they coughed it up. The other thing that surprised me is the job doesn't pay all that great, which I thought it would really be among the highest paid jobs.
I agree.
In Division One with, you know, that Phil Knight Nike money behind it. You know, he's sunk a lot of money in the facility.
Right.
I thought he'd go a little more for the coach. But, you know, Taggart has done a really good job at South Florida.
Absolutely.
I mean, last 2 years, this was a dangerous team. You know, I'm not sure about his whole staff and everybody else. We have to look. I'm thinking there's some money left over for, you know, for some good assistance and all that. But he did a real good job. Supposedly he has some good, recruiting ends on the West Coast. You know, because Oregon does not produce very many football players.
Right.
It's only like one or two a year that actually come out of Oregon. There's a lot to come out of Washington, and obviously there's a ton that come out of California. You know, but it's kind of a hard recruiting trail if you don't really have good connections. Now, once you get them up there and they see the facilities, and you know, I've been on that campus numerous times. It really is a beautiful, yeah, beautiful place. Of course, you got not mind the rain too, though.
Yeah,
you know, but it is beautiful. But if they, you know, supposedly he has some good recruiting avenues, and, you know, I think he'll do pretty good. I thought he did real good at South Florida, and
yeah,
I think he'll probably do pretty good up there. It seems like the community's kind of enthusiastic about him being there, so,
right,
you know, that's always a real good sign.
Yeah, wasn't he, you said he had ties on the West Coast, wasn't he an assistant at Stanford for a while?
I believe you're correct. Yeah, I knew he was an assistant at one of the Pac-12 schools.
Yeah, I think it was Stanford. Hey, I got a couple more, Chris. I just want to throw that at you and just get your opinions on. What was your thoughts about going back to the SEC? LSU deciding to stick with Les Miles. Deciding to stick with Ed Orgeron.
Well, it's funny you mention that because I had a guy in my office this morning from LSU, and they're, again, you talk about enthusiastic. They're very enthusiastic about Orgeron being there, really because he wanted to be there, and they felt like Jimbo Fisher was just trying to get a big payday out of it,
exactly,
and Herman was, you know, kind of doing the same thing. You know, not that those guys aren't good coaches, but they just didn't love LSU the way Ed Orgeron did. And, you know, this kid was, very enthusiastic. I mean, like I said, pretty big football booster and all that. And,
yeah.
He was very happy that they decided to keep Orgeron. And, you know, obviously they need to get good assistance because let's be honest, I'm not sure Orgeron's Phi Beta Kappa or a Mensa candidate, but I think if they get some good assistance, I think they can do pretty well over there.
I agree. Hey, I got a couple more I want to ask you about. What's your thoughts about possibly Lane Kiffin going to the University of Houston? I know that's not been, that's not in stone by any means, but what were your thoughts? Is that a good hire for Houston?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not positive. I think I've heard guys talking about it today, because it seems like there's, probably about 75% there on the Houston hire. But guys are saying that, he's maybe the best offensive coordinator in the country. And,
right.
I think having Nick Saban looking over your shoulder probably makes you a little better, certainly a guy like Kiffin. He's had a very checkered career prior to this, with,
right.
And I say checkered, it's really been a lot of failure, to be honest
right.
with you. I'm not sure. I don't know. But I guess we'll have to see. Yeah. If I were him, I guess I'd probably want to get another chance at a Division One job, a good Division One job. I think he's got the table set for him there, but I'm just not convinced. I think that if he were to stick with Nick and be with Bama, I think they got a really, really good thing going, and he's probably making some pretty darn good money.
Yeah.
And if I were him, I'd be very careful taking this next step.
I agree with you there, Chris, but I'm sure he's been at Bama 3 years. He's done a great job as offensive coordinator.
Sure.
But, it's probably not real difficult to do a good job as offensive coordinator when you have so much talent and kids who can play, and you can basically do, to a degree, you can kind of run whatever you want to run, whatever system you want to do, because they are, they have dominated the recruiting world, over the last half dozen years. So, I think it is. I think he certainly wants to get back in that saddle again. However, if this doesn't work well for him, and I hope it does, but if it doesn't, I don't think he will be getting another opportunity at a head coaching job at this level.
I would agree. And, you're talking about it. There's a lot of benefits with having those recruits. I agree with that. But also, he seems like he might be the kind of guy that needs a boss. Needs a guy like Nick Saban
right.
to tell him, hang on.
Right.
I know a couple times they showed Nick telling him, would you please run the ball? and he might need somebody like
yeah.
that. He's obviously benefited greatly from it. And, whether he's ready to go out on his own again, I don't know.
Time will tell.
Time will tell.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, I got one more for you, and this is a guy that I really like. I think he is a quality person, the kind of guy that you'd want your kids to be around, and that's Charlie Strong. Do you see him landing somewhere, possibly?
Yeah, I do. I agree with you. I thought Charlie Strong, he would be the kind of guy that would be someone you'd want your kid to go play for. But I heard that there, and I don't know who it was because they didn't name the guy, but there was one of the major boosters at Texas, like one of the big, big boosters, who was not behind Charlie Strong from the beginning.
Right.
And, unfortunately, that can sink a guy pretty quick. So I think he was on a pretty short leash. And, in all honesty, I mean, the team just did not perform all that well. I think they, it was kind of time for him to go at Texas.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, listen, he had a lot of success at Louisville and, again, set the table for Bobby Petrino there. And I think if he were to go to another school, you know, like that, without quite the visibility and the pressure of a Texas, you know, yeah, I think Charlie Strong's going to I think his next job, he'll do a real good job.
Yeah, I hope he does. And, you know, I've heard a little bit, and you may have as well, there might be some interest from, you know, South Florida for Charlie Strong. So
yeah, he'd be a good fit there, I think. Yeah.
I agree with you. Okay.
All right, Chris, I've got five written down, so we're going to let them go. And I think a couple of these questions, at least one of you, Chris, might know this one dead on. But anyway,
okay.
All right, we're going to start with Chris since he is the visiting team today, right?
He's the defending champion.
He's the defending champion, too. So. All right, Chris, the Sun Bowl, we all know, is played in El Paso, Texas. This city averages 295 days of sunshine per year. Is the actual days of sunshine more or less than 295?
I'm going to say more.
All right, Chris says more.
Well, I was going to say more, but now that Chris has said more, I'm going with more. I'm not going to let him take the lead on me.
It is more. 302.
There you go.
302
yeah,
days of sunshine.
Okay.
All right, we're tied.
All right, in 1905, and we had this question part of it before, between 11 and 20 deaths were tied directly to college football injuries. This would be the equivalent to 86 injuries today. Ronnie, is that 86? Is the number of injuries higher or lower? Deaths would be the equivalent. 11 to 20 would be the equivalent to how many today? I'm saying 86. Is that higher or lower, the actual number?
Higher.
Okay, Chris?
Well, I don't want to disagree just for the heck of it. So I think it's higher. I think it would be correct.
Higher is correct.
Hey.
95 is the correct answer.
What about that?
Can you imagine having 95 deaths in football?
Unbelievable.
Oh, man, yeah. Jeez.
Wow. Mm.
All right. The Tournament of Roses in Pasadena, California. The first college bowl game was actually born to draw attention to the Tournament of Roses. A guy brought in two of the best college football teams to play to draw attention to that. This bowl game, which was the first bowl game, was actually born in 1912. Was it before 1912 or after 1912, the actual answer? And so, Ronnie, you see, it's Chris.
Chris's time.
Back to you, Chris.
I'm going to go before. I'll tell you what, because being from Western Pennsylvania, I think like Washington and Jefferson or something like that played in one of those first Rose Bowls. So I'm going to go before.
Well, that's way before.
Let me see who is. All right, Ronnie,
all right, okay.
While I'm looking that up.
Yeah, I think I'll go with Chris. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about, so I'm going with the same one Chris picked.
It was before. It
there
was
you
1905.
Go. I'm going to put Chris on Jeopardy.
All right. To you, Ronnie, number four, field goal in football originally was worth 4 points. Was it originally worth more or less than 4 points?
I'm going to say it's worth more than 4 points.
Okay, Chris?
God, I hate to do this. I'm going to go with more as well. I think he's correct.
All right. You're both correct. It was worth 5 points.
Well, that's what I thought.
All right.
We have not missed one.
Chris, back to you. Touchdowns were originally worth 5 points in college football. Is the actual answer more or less?
I'm going to go with less.
Okay.
Oh, well, just for the sake of argument, I'm going more. And we are tied, both 4-4.
And
4-0.
The correct answer is less.
Dadgummit.
I didn't write it down, but I'm pretty sure it was originally worth 3 points.
Good gosh. That's two weeks in a row. We weren't on last week, but he has worn me out the last two times.
Here's a bonus for either one of you. Does anybody know the rallying cry for the Maryland Terrapins? The Maryland Terrapins. What is the rally cry?
I have no clue.
Chris, got any idea?
Go, Turtles, go.
You're close. Fear the turtle.
Fear the turtle. Oh, man. Well, Chris is once again the king of insignificant facts.
If you only knew, guys, if you only knew.
Hey, Chris, real quick, before you get off the phone with us, I got to ask you, anything in the NFL this weekend worth looking at, or college basketball even?
Well, college basketball, I'm just not ready yet. No, I don't have anything there. But I got a couple. And first of all, I like Kansas City tonight. I think that's going to be a good game, but I like Kansas City there. I like the Vikings on Sunday, and the whole world's against me, but I like the Eagles on Sunday. I think that's the right side. Wow. I think they beat Washington. So those three
Kansas
be my
best
City, games.
The Vikings, and the Eagles, folks.
Hey, yes, sir.
Hey, let me throw this at you. You think Rex Ryan is gone at Buffalo?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, yeah. And take his brother with him.
Yeah,
that defense is awful.
I agree.
He'll get his foot in the door somewhere else. So.
You know what? He'd be great on TV. He really would. He'd be fantastic on TV.
I can't look at him for thinking about his foot fetish.
Oh, my God, jeez. You had to bring that up, huh? Thanks.
Yeah, that'll take your supper appetite away.
That's right. I needed to go on a diet anyway. Don't worry.
Me too.
Hey, Chris, hope you have a great weekend. Thanks again, man, for joining us as you do each week. We really appreciate it.
You got it, fellas. I'll talk to you guys next week.
All
have
right.
a great week.
Sounds great.
Thanks Chris. See you. All right. He's thrashed me again.
2 weeks in a row, right?
Yeah. And I got him 2 weeks in a row, too.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
So I guess it's tied.
It's
really
kind of tied, yeah, but he's kind of he's on an upswing, and I'm, you know.
For those of you who might be playing Chris's game, again, he likes Kansas City tonight, the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday, and the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. So
for entertainment purposes only.
For entertainment purposes only.
Of course.
All right, 4:58. We're about 5-6 minutes away from Dan Vosta, and that's one we'll just ask a question and sit back and listen. Sports Talk Live, 95.5, getting dark, so get home, get you something to eat. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I'd like to invite you to our Christmas concert Monday, December 12th at 7 p.m. in the Betty Leith Haynes Theater at Wallace State College. This concert is part of the Coleman Community Concert Association series. This year's program is shaping up to be the best yet. There will be something for everyone. Be sure to bring the kids because Santa plans to make an appearance. Again, the concert is Monday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at Wallace State College. Admission is free. Canned food donations will be accepted for Coleman Caring for Kids.
Did you know that you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill? Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Coleman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now, Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer to the service, or bundle with the Cyber Broadband Cellular Service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you sign up for broadband service through another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo, it's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
Friday, December 9th at the Coleman Civic Center, the music, the moves, the memories of the King lives on.
Christmas with Elvis, the ultimate tribute event as Stephen Freeman performs Elvis's Christmas gospel and rock and roll hits live on stage. Advance tickets on sale at KingTribute Live.com and the Coleman Civic Center. One night with you, Coleman, to prove Elvis is still the king. Don't miss Christmas with Elvis at the Coleman Civic Center, Friday, December 9th at 7:30. Visit KingTribute Live.com for more information.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Derek Scudder. Police say a 4-year-old girl has been wounded by gunfire outside a Birmingham restaurant. The shooting happened about 8:45 last night as the girl and her parents were at the Logan's Roadhouse in East Birmingham. The family reportedly had backed into a parking space when they heard shots and their car windows shattered. They drove to a nearby service station where they realized the little girl in a car seat in the back seat had been hit in the leg. She was taken to Children's of Alabama for treatment. Police say she's expected to be okay. Police say the 26-year-old boyfriend of a young mother shot to death in her Homewood apartment earlier this week has been formally charged in her slaying. Tavares Jackson is accused in Monday's fatal shooting of 22-year-old Shaterica Lipscomb. Authorities and family say she was shot at home, then dropped off at a medical facility. A riverboat is once again working the waters of the Black Warrior River in Tuscaloosa. After 4 years in dock, including a year's worth of repairs, the Bama Bell Paddle Wheeler is ready to carry up to 149 passengers. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Recent showers and storms across much of Alabama have eased the severe drought, but experts say it wasn't enough to make up for the months of dry conditions before the rain finally fell. The National Drought Mitigation Center says the recent rains helped in the short term, but more than 20% of the state remains under exceptional drought, the highest level. Sheriff's deputies say a 26-year-old Coleman County man is accused of sending pornographic pictures over the Internet. Ray Schultz is charged with displaying obscene material to a minor. During a search warrant at his home, sheriff's investigators seized several of Schultz's electronic devices, and additional charges may follow. A Gadsden man's been arrested after allegedly using an electronic device to entice a child for sexual purposes and to send obscene photos. 20-year-old Trenton Hamilton faces one count each of electronic solicitation of a child and transmitting obscene material and could still face additional charges. Hamilton worked as an Etowah County deputy trainee. He has been terminated. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News.
Well, my husband is a retired sergeant from the Air Force.
Well, he was in the Army for 14 years and an MP.
23 million veterans, they're heroes who need our help.
Well, I'm here because my daughter has had her third surgery for cancer.
We've had some difficulties, so we're here quite some time. We're going on to 3 weeks.
When our heroes' families need help, they turn to Fisher House.
We learned about the Fisher House through the doctor. And we were so grateful because who has 3 weeks to be able to come and stay at a hotel?
Fisher House is a safe, free place to stay for families of wounded warriors and veterans receiving treatment at VA and military medical centers.
Fisher House is not only a home away from home, it was like family away from family.
Thank you, Fisher House.
Thank you, Fisher House.
Helping military and veterans' families. Fisher House at fisherhouse.org. Sometimes having family close by is a hero's best medicine.
In sports, changes for the Crimson Tide on the sidelines heading into the college football playoffs. Reports indicate Bama offensive coordinator Lane Kiffin will be hired by the University of Houston as its next head coach. Kiffin joined the Alabama coaching staff in 2014.
Another backup quarterback is taking himself off the Alabama roster just days after Cooper Bateman said he plans to transfer. David Cornwell posted a message on Twitter saying he looked forward to joining another program for his final 2 years of eligibility. The Birmingham Bowl is set for December 29th at Legion Field as South Carolina will take on the University of South Florida. Executive Director of the Bowl, Mark Meadows, says the 11th year of the Bowl kicks off with a luncheon on Wednesday, December 28th.
Then that afternoon, we have some free events from 2 to 8. We've got the Uptown Street Fest and Pep Rally that will go on at the Uptown Entertainment District.
He says on game day, there'll be a fan zone with live music and more. Derek Scudder, ARN News.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.
Welcome back, Sports Talk Live. It is 5:06 here in Coleman, Alabama. It's time for our good buddy, Mr. Dan Vossa from Campus Insider, to join us each week. So, Dan, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you guys having me on. Happy Thursday to you.
Hey, yeah, Dan. Fantastic, Dan. Hey, Dan, I got to know something right away, right off the bat. We've been hearing rumors that Kiffin may be headed to University of Houston. Do you have anything, any details on that?
I think it's probably confirmed. They just said it on the news.
Oh, okay.
So that's about as confirmed I think as it can get.
Okay.
Right. We should find out some more news today officially is what I'm hearing. But obviously, as we see in college, it's so fluid. You don't know officially until officially official, if you will, to that name sign on the dotted line. But certainly not completely out of left field, but many people were not expecting Houston to be the favorite for Lane Kiffin to go to. Obviously, many people were wondering what happened to Lane Kiffin to LSU potentially. So that's the way for tonight, but many people are still on the fence, but many leaning towards him taking this job. So we'll have to wait and see how that finishes up.
Okay. While we're on that, let me piggyback and ask you your opinion, Dan Voss's opinion. Is this a good hire for Houston, or is this a good situation for Lane Kiffin?
I think a little bit of both, but I think certainly it's certainly going to be a great situation for Lane Kiffin in terms of some better to pad up the resume. As another job as a head coach, hopefully this one will be his best yet overall coaching job. We'll see if he can outdo what he's done with Alabama. Great success. I've always wondered, other than, filling your needs of an ego and potentially getting a job done as a head coach, which are many people's dreams, it's tough to leave a job like Alabama as their offensive coordinator. But I think Houston is looking to somehow patch this up and hope for their offense to continue to be what it's been from Art Briles to Tom Herman and Kevin Sumlin mixed in there as well. I think the success will continue here, offensively speaking. How great they can be will be, the key question. I'm not sure if Lane Kiffin will get them into the CFP contention or conversation like Tom Herman got them the end of last year and pretty much the entire offseason and pretty much until October when they suffered that first loss to Navy. So I'm not sure they're going to be an amazing program, like a CFP contender like they were, maybe, or at least contention or discussion, but I think they're going to be a legit 9-10 win team for probably years to come because their offense should be solid. But wait and see with what happens with Lane Kiffin, because it seems wherever he goes, the head coach at least, within a few years, it seems like the program is still kind of stuck in neutral or maybe back where they were when first hiring Lane. So we'll have to wait and see. American Athletic has gotten much better over the years. Last year it was great. Postseason wasn't good. We'll see how that this year pretty solid overall. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see what he can do if he does become their next head coach. I think it'll help them continue a great tradition for the most part, offensively speaking.
All right, great. Hey, Dan, as we all know now, the playoffs are set. In your opinion, do you think the committee got it right? And what are your first reactions to the matchups that we have?
I think the committee did get it right. I thought Washington was not only worthy, but I thought they were, you know, a top four to top ten team the entire season. It's all about what have you done the whole season, not just what have you done for me lately, which everybody kind of falls into the that moment of just the last couple of weeks, which Penn State's been great for, you know, pretty much the last month, but Penn State was a pretty mediocre team in the month of September, lost early on in the year. And obviously, Panthers, who many people talk about beating Clemson this year, but they also, you know, they lost two games overall. And many people forget, while they were down to pretty much you and I at linebacker, they got destroyed by Michigan. I mean, they were down to their third string and lost by nearly 40 points in that ball game. Hard to consider that as a top 14 when the first 5 to 6 games, you're barely like a bowl eligible type of team in terms of how you looked. And never point was there a season for Washington where I said, this team's not a top 25 team. The whole year I thought they were a top 5 to top 10 team. And when it mattered most, they devoured Ralphie and the Buffaloes in the Pac-12 title game. Props to Penn State for being one of the hotter teams in the country. But in September, they would have got destroyed by Washington and maybe even some mid-tier Big Ten teams. And you have to take that apart. It's a full season. It's a full journey. We would not be, you know, drinking the Alabama Kool-Aid if they didn't look good in September. Instead, they scored more points on defense than the Cleveland Browns have scored all year. So we've seen that with Penn State. They struggled in the year. I think the committee got it right. The Washington Huskies, your 4 seed. Congratulations, but now you have Bama. And then I thought Clemson, I had them as the 2 seed over Ohio State this past week when we discussed for winning that ACC championship game. While they didn't look great in the process overall as a team, they got the job done, looked good enough. Now they get a month prepared. Seems to be, despite slight underdogs to the Buckeyes, seemed to me like potentially we could be destined for a repeat rematch of a season ago in the national title.
Great. All right, Dan, let's move to this past weekend when we're talking about, you know, championship week. Which team surprised you the most?
Yeah, there's always a couple out there, but going negative a little bit here. Glass, you know, half empty. Colorado Buffaloes, I thought, were going to be able to put up a fight. It was kind of going back and forth in that game. I thought they were going to keep it respectable, at least, against Washington. And Seth Alufau got hurt right before halftime, came in, threw a pick six right away in the second half. And it was tough sledding for the Buffaloes offense. Washington defensively is so sound and talented. And even when Jake Browning, that quarterback, could not go bonkers, if you will, they still found ways to move the ball. Very balanced attack. Disappointing. Colorado got destroyed because obviously they win there. Going to go at least to Pasadena for the Rose Bowl. So disappointment, but still a good year overall for Colorado despite the disappointment of getting obliterated by UW.
Okay. Thanks, Dan.
Hey, Dan. I was having to kick back here and eat a few pretzels and let Ronnie fill in there. So I've been on vacation. It's hard to get off of it. Hey, Dan, it's early, but Alabama's about a 16-point favorite somewhere in there. Some have it a full point lower. Is this simply Washington being outmatched, or does the general public not know anything about Washington and just riding the tide?
Yeah, I think definitely a little bit of both, but more so, I think it just goes to show you how great this Alabama team. Some websites out there, 538.com, believes Alabama is maybe the greatest team ever, and we still got to wait and see how they look the next two games to say such a thing, but they're about as good as it gets, the Crimson Tide defensively. Many people feel this could be Nick Saban's greatest defensive team ever. Certainly we'll see how they look towards going to the NFL draft and how those players develop the next 2 weeks, and even many that will be returning next year. A lot of young players at linebacker, secondary, some young studs developing in the trenches like always for Nick Saban. But it describes more, I believe, for Alabama. A lot of people are West Coast biased. They feel don't even stay up late. They call it Pac-12 after dark. Many people, 10 o'clock is when the Huskies play a lot of their games in the second quarter. I was fortunate to stay up late enough to watch all the Huskies' late games, which is the majority of them. Not too long ago, they went against a highly ranked Cal Standard team, and they fell off the map a little bit. but they devoured them. The Pac-12 obviously very down, arguably, you know, the fourth or fifth best conference right there with the Big 12 behind the likes of Big Ten, SEC, and ACC. They were, for the most part, dominant, minus that home loss to USC, which looks like one of the three hottest teams in the country currently. Washington gotten the job done and, you know, just destroyed the foes in the Pac-12. Jake Browning and that offense has been great. John Ross is a speedster, similar to the likes of Calvin Ridley. He can play in the slot. He can go on the outside. Not sure he'll have a great career in the NFL like I think Calvin Ridley will, but John Ross, a big-time ball player, receiver for them. They got a balanced attack with Miles Gaskin. The issue for Washington will be, you know, can they protect Jake Browning? How good of an athlete is he? He's pretty suspect. He can run and move around a little bit, but he's not going to be able to run away from the Alabama front seven. And any blitzes and disguises that Jeremy Pruitt brings will be something that Washington will be trying to look to adjust to for the next month or so. So the talent level's there. They're a top 10 clear-cut talent team. There's a handful of teams that aren't in the CFP that maybe take over them, such as USC, Oklahoma, potentially Florida State and Michigan, I would argue. But outside of those couple of teams, Washington on paper is more than worthy of potentially giving Alabama its best game they've had in at least since the Iron Bowl, but you could argue maybe to the last 2 months. So we'll have to wait and see the next month, see if everybody plays this game, suits up, makes the travel, no injuries in practice or pregame. So, but on paper, Alabama's worthy of being about a 16-point favorite. There's only a handful of teams you can make a case that are less than two touchdown favorites.
Okay, let me back up a minute, Dan. And I know you talked to, when you were talking with Ronnie, you told us which team surprised you most on the positive side. Now give us the old negative side. We've always got to look at the negative. So,
I think Navy was the midshipman. I thought had a great chance that maybe hang in there. They were favored over Temple. I'd be saying, what was that game relevant early Saturday morning, American Athletic Conference? Well, you know, had Western Michigan lost the previous night, Friday night, Navy had a chance to finish the year in the top 25. More than likely, though, they probably win only a conference championship game, but potentially get to 11-plus wins, and they lost a couple of their players. The starting quarterback was off on crutches. He's out for the postseason, and obviously their big game against Army this week, where I think Navy will survive a nice ball-close game. That will be pretty close, I think, in the low 20s, but that was a tough loss for Navy. I thought they could have won their conference championship game, and potentially still sneak in a year six bowl, at least a better bowl game, and now, unfortunately, with losing that game, they couldn't get there. So a little disappointment because they had a very underrated good year. They beat Notre Dame earlier this season. They beat Houston. They've been a thorn in many team sides in the past, and this is one of their better teams. It was unfortunate they couldn't play their best at their most important game of the season.
Hey, Dan, I want to throw one out at you that you're probably not prepared for, but I read this today that the NCAA president is in favor of expanding the playoff from four teams to eight teams, which would get all your Power Five champions in and then three at-large bids. My question to you, and you may not have time to think about it, is would you be supportive of that, or do you think it ought to stay just as the four-team playoff that it is now?
Yeah, I would not bet against it. We get to eight eventually, but I'm not a fan of it. I think, obviously, more people like more football, more free football, as they say.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, you're going to start having three lost teams in there. And that's just, in my opinion, defeats the purpose of the greatest sport in the world, and that's the regular season of college football. Nothing beats it. It's the best. Every game, for the most part, matters. You lose, you get on the bus and go home
right.
And for your season in terms of the CFP. And unfortunately, a lot of kids that play or that are young and follow the sport now feel like if you don't make the playoff, your life is over. There's so many great bowl games out there, the Rose, the Orange Sugar. And these college experiences are worth a lifetime. So I'm four, only four. I don't mind. I don't think six is the end of the world if you get the top two seeds a bye. I don't think that would be a huge deal. But eight teams, then you're going to start bringing a team like USC or Florida State potentially getting in this year. Who knows if you go to expand to eight. And all of a sudden you have a team that loses two to three conference games. You'd have them at least one, maybe two every year, but pretty much be a lock to make it. So obviously I'm sure the ratings and the money potentially could work out well, which is really all that matters for many people. But at the end of the day, it would defeat the purpose of the regular season. You'd have so many teams losing down the stretch that would be making it. So I think it would be more chaotic, and it would be tougher to get more bowl-eligible teams. Obviously, you could make less New Year's Six, so that would be, I guess, your New Year's Six matchups, per se, if it went to eight. So I'm kind of against that. Six, that's in the world for me, but I've always liked the expansion of the four teams, pretty much in the BCS era, where it was really just an additional plus one, like an add-on game, which is what I thought we wanted. So maybe two plus games, per se, in this case. But nonetheless, I kind of love it where the way it's at currently.
Hey, Dan, let me ask you this before Runny gets on any further. He throws you a curve, so I'm going to throw you a screwball now. I personally, and I think Runny agrees with me, would like to see it go to eight just because, as you said, more free football. But I do see what you're saying about, you know, the regular season, getting teams with three losses.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the bowl games, though. You mentioned the great bowl games. And, Dan, I'm not sure the American public agrees with you on the great bowl games. Attendance is going down. People are not watching it. Probably at its worst ratings ever. What is the future of bowl games? Do they have a life with this playoff system?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to wait and see how this develops. I mean, I'm a person that watches – I watch not just for my job, but as my personal love, if you will, watching every bowl game. I'll even watch the Celebration Bowl between Grambling State and North Carolina Central. I'll even watch that one to kick it off on Saturday morning in just a week, I should say, from Saturday. I watch every game. I watch Kentucky, Vandy. It doesn't matter what conference they're in, really, for me. But I think, you know, for the kids, obviously we'll see if money really does talk, which usually decides a lot of things. But for these kids and these programs, and such as, say, Kentucky or Vanderbilt, this could do wonders for the Commodores and the Wildcats, if I can use the SEC as an example. These are programs that don't go to bowl games very often. You look at Colorado in the Pac-12 at 10-3 is in a monster showdown in the Alamo Bowl against Oklahoma State. The Buffs haven't gone to a bowl game in a decade. And this springboards a program into next season. You get extra practices. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience for many kids. They don't go to bowl games. If they go to the program for 5 years, they never go bowling. And it's great for extra practices. It's huge into the next spring football practice in the spring game. You get more PT. You get extra practice. You get more confidence. It's once-in-a-lifetime experience going across the country, depending on what bowl game and where you're from geographically. So it's so many pros for the kids. And while it's going to cost money for all the fans and the boosters and so forth, and not people in the attendance may be down, but for the kids, it's really a lifetime experience. None of these premier programs, this is Michigan's first Orange Bowl since, I believe, Tom Brady beat Alabama in overtime. And while they're not in the CFP and not in Pasadena, this is still a great matchup with them. Florida State hasn't been in the Orange Bowl, surprisingly, since, I think, 4 years ago against Northern Illinois, but this is, I believe, their only 10th appearance ever. There's lots of great matchups. You see Auburn in the Sugar Bowl. Just extra momentum going into the season. It only helps your program. It would have hurt it, in my opinion, if you took some of those games away, because then you're playing Xbox and your PS4 in the month of December and January instead of playing football, learning more about the sport, and learning more relationships in as a life goal. So more life lessons, if you will, with this opportunity for the kids. But we'll see if money talks, where these, you know, revenue and so forth, less fans in attendance. But for me, I'm all for it. I'm not saying give me more bowl games. I think 40 to 42, if you're counting the Celebration Bowl, is a good maximum, because I believe it was three teams this year with losing records during the postseason. So that's kind of cutting it close there for me. But I love all of them.
Okay. I got you. Hey, Dan, you mentioned Auburn a minute ago in the Sugar Bowl, so let's touch on that just a moment. If folks don't know, Auburn will be playing Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl. Auburn is less than a touchdown underdog to Oklahoma. What's your thoughts about this game?
Yeah, this is one of the better matchups. You're going to see the physicality of Auburn, which is one of the more physical teams in the country. Certainly they've been a little lackluster offensively, but you get a month to prepare and rest up. This will be an intriguing matchup. Oklahoma, a little speed and finesse in the trenches. Can Auburn abuse them in the trenches? And they're going to get lots of hype with, obviously, two guys head to New York City this weekend, and wide receiver D.D. Westbrook, who's been almost like Russell Westbrook on the hardwood in terms of how explosive he's been. But they, in a conference, the Big 12, a lot of times they play two-hand football, two-hand touch. So a little tougher in the SEC, and even in a down year for the SEC. Looking possible, the SEC might have their first year since 2000, where only one team finishes the year in the top 15 of the APR coaches poll. So hopefully the SEC can win a few bowl games to avoid that disastrous nugget. So this is a great matchup because Oklahoma's offense and offense, fireworks, explosive plays in the passing game and the running game against Auburn's very physical defense. If Auburn can just do a little bit something offensively, they'll stay in this ball game. Then it comes down to the wire where potentially we get a thriller. If they could make Baker Mayfield look, you know, like he's only about 6 foot, make him play like the potential arena future that he might have. He might not have a future in the NFL. Then I think the Auburn Tigers have a great chance to pull off the upset. But if they can't move that ball and get any field position, it's going to be tough to come out victorious. But I think they're going to hang in there. It's a great matchup, offense versus defense. Hopefully Auburn can consistently play takeaway and keep away and keep that Sooners offense on the bench. And Auburn can move the chains with their running game. So it's going to be a great matchup in New Orleans, as they call it.
Okay, Dan, we know you love those bowl games. So let's get on the best bowl games after the playoffs, the New Year's Six games. Which of these games intrigues you the most?
I think it's the Orange Bowl. There's a lot of good ones, but I'm going to go with the Orange Bowl with Michigan and Florida State, two teams that maybe didn't live up to quite the expectations, but still a darn good year overall. Florida State was pretty much counted out by everybody to get here maybe as many as a couple of weeks ago. And it's going to be very intriguing how Michigan responds. Many thought they were worthy. You could argue if you pick any four teams in the country of who's going to win, Michigan's going to be there, but that's not how it works in college football. So can they get up, go in the backyard, per se, of the Noles? And I think it's going to be a great matchup. The Seminoles' speed overall is very SEC, you know, speed-esque, per se. And against a Michigan physical defensive line, their O-line was a little slow, kind of got whipped up by the Buckeyes in that last matchup. This could be Michigan's toughest opponent they see all year from a speed basis. So this could be a big-time matchup where I think the winner potentially could be preseason top five. The loser probably still going to be preseason top 10. But can they get after a freshman quarterback, DeAndre Francois? And more than likely, it's going to be Dalvin Cook's last game. So Michigan, a touchdown favorite. I'm leaning a little bit towards the Noles right now, not only to make it a game and pull off the upset. I think Dalvin Cook could be the next Clinton Portis for an NFL comparison. I think he could be a Pro Bowler as a rookie, and he could be an All-Pro. Hard to say future Hall of Famer because running backs in the NFL nowadays, it's hard to last very long, and Dalvin Cook's been dinged up a little bit in his college career. But all-time leading rusher in Seminole history over Warwick Dunn. This is a great matchup. Two premier, two top 10 all-time programs. It's going to be a great one next Friday. I believe it's the 30th of December. So that's the one I'm looking forward to the most.
All right. Hey, Dan, before we let you go, we can't let you get away without giving us talk a little bit about the Heisman. Who do you think's going to win it, and who's going to, you know, come up, as they say sometimes, as the first loser?
Sure. Yeah, I think Lamar Jackson's going to take it, obviously. He's a pretty close to a heavy favorite going into Saturday night, but even regardless of losing those last two games to Houston and Kentucky, his September month was just sensationally. Just look at what he did. He had 25 total touchdowns in September, and then October, November, 26 combined these last 2 months. So, you know, he was due to go down a little bit, but he's still going to win it in a borderline landslide. So pretty comfortable he's going to get this one. But two for pretty much seven is going to be a little bit of a crapshoot. I think Deshaun Watson of Clemson, though, will be a strong runner-up. Despite beating Lamar Jackson early in the season, Lamar still was just brilliant in the month of September, and it's too much for me. And then I go Baker Mayfield, number three, though. You could potentially make an argument maybe he doesn't belong there, but I think he's probably going to be around third. Peppers, Jabril Peppers of Michigan. And then after that, it's a little wide open. But I think Dalvin Cook, Florida State, who didn't get invited, will try to make a statement in the Orange Bowl. I think him and D.D. Westbrook will be very close at 5 and 6. And then Jake Browning, I think, was worthy at 7. And the other player I think that got snubbed a little bit was Jonathan Allen of Alabama, who may win a few awards tonight, potentially, officially, per se, in TVBC. But I think the Alabama defensive player potentially could be the number one pick in the draft, can play inside and outside. A much more heralded version of Michael Bennett, the Seattle Seahawks defensive lineman. So can play inside, can play outside. a premier player for Alabama. Where would they be without him? They'd still be pretty darn good, but he could have passed on college and went to the NFL a year ago, and he came back and has reaped the benefits on the field. So it's been great to see. And all those guys are very worthy, I think, of cracking the top five, per se. But it looks like Lamar Jackson's Heisman by a good amount.
Okay, good deal, Dan. Hey, Dan, thanks for joining us as you do each week, and I hope you have a great weekend. And if you can, we look forward to talking to you again next week.
You got it. Start talking these bowl games. You know I'm in for all of them. Have a great weekend, guys.
We learned that today for sure.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Dan. You too.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, there is Dan the man.
Watches all of them.
He does.
I watch maybe a handful.
Yeah. I pick and choose.
Well,
kind of like going
right
to a buffet. I'm not eating the whole buffet.
That's it.
5:30, and will we have Mr. Rex on?
Rex is right. Going to join us.
Coming up next, Rex Chambers, talk a little fishing. We'll be right
back.
Hey, guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I'd like to invite you to our Christmas concert Monday, December 12th at 7 p.m. in the Betty Leith Haynes Theater at Wallace State College. This concert is part of the Coleman Community Concert Association series. This year's program is shaping up to be the best yet. There will be something for everyone. Be sure to bring the kids because Santa plans to make an appearance. Again, the concert is Monday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at Wallace State College. Admission is free. Canned food donations will be accepted for Coleman Caring for Kids.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a senior's only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Friday, December 9th at the Coleman Civic Center, the music, the moves, the memories of the king lives on. Christmas with Elvis, the ultimate tribute event as Stephen Freeman performs Elvis's Christmas gospel and rock and roll hits live on stage. Advance tickets on sale at KingTribute Live.com and the Coleman Civic Center. One night with you, Coleman, to prove Elvis is still the king. Don't miss Christmas with Elvis at the Coleman Civic Center, Friday, December 9th at 7:30. Visit KingTribute Live.com for more information.
I-33 on a cold
That's right. Need to be out in a boat fishing.
That's it. Rates, are you fishing?
No.
All right, that's all I need to hear.
Oh, Rex, you ain't no fair weather fisherman, I know, son.
Hey, I'm as hardcore as hardcore.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
But right now, it just ain't my favorite time. Even though it's so, it get a little colder. I actually like it colder.
No.
In the 40s, man, 40s is just kind of aggravating. Let it drop down in the 20s like Saturday morning's gonna be.
You can be out there at daylight.
I'll be under a
blanket.
Well,
I won't be. Yeah. But if I was, it'd be enjoyable.
I hear you. Hey, Rex, tell us about how your trip went to Kentucky.
Well, first off, let me tell you what the most disappointing thing in the world right now in college football.
Yeah.
Is Lamar Jackson's going to win the Heisman Trophy?
That speaks volumes about college football.
There's a dozen dozen better players in college football than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think he's
it's just
done.
Because he plays weak defenses.
Yeah.
And he's an above average dual threat quarterback that he's going to win the Heisman Trophy, and that's a travesty.
I agree. There's nothing impressive. I mean, he's had some big games, but again, just like you said, it's against mediocre, you know, defensive clubs. You know,
there's a half dozen defensive players that deserve it over him.
You know,
the Alabama boy being one of them. I'll give him credit.
Yeah, Jonathan Allen.
Yep, he would probably be my pick.
Yeah.
I was a voter.
And at one time, you know, his name was mentioned, you know, being invited to New York, but, you know, that did not happen.
It's a travesty that it is a Hollywood award.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me say this. Why don't we just name it the Offensive Player of the
Year? That's right.
And be done.
Yeah. When's the last time a defensive guy won?
Oh, my gosh.
It's been
early 90s?
May have been Deion Sanders.
I think somebody won after Sanders. Oh, you might be right. You might be right. It could have been Deion. Might have been.
I don't remember another one, but there probably was. But I don't remember another one.
We'll have to find.
But it is a travesty that he's going to win. Yeah. He's a great player, but he's not a Heisman. He's not a Heisman.
No.
Anyway, it's cold.
Was it cold in Kentucky?
You know, it was freaking miserable. We only got 2 days of practice.
Yeah.
On Monday, first off, let me explain to you about Kentucky Lake. Kentucky Lake's a mile wide in some areas.
A mile wide?
Yeah, in some areas. It's a mile wide.
Goodness.
And it's a river system with current. The water was, I'd say, probably 6 feet low. And we had 35-mile-an-hour gust on Monday.
Ooh.
Now, I've got a video I took in our Phoenix boat that was, of course, now, if we'd been in anything beside a Phoenix boat, we'd have done like everybody else.
Right.
And got a ride back to the launch to go get our boat. We had 6 footers. The wind was blowing the tops off the waves.
Oh, goodness.
It was amazing.
Ugh.
Now we were, it wasn't just freezing cold, but yes, it was cold.
Yeah.
But that Monday practice was the second worst water I've ever been on before in my life.
Wow.
I'm talking 6 foot rollers down the river.
That's,
I mean, we would go over one and be down in a gully and see one coming behind us and one in front of us.
Wow. That's where if you are not a true experienced guy on a lake in a boat, you better get off of it. Correct.
Like I said, the majority that put in at the launch ramp, got a ride by road.
Wow.
Back to get their truck to go get them at another boat ramp. It was that bad.
Wow.
It was really, really rough. So we only got about a half a day, three quarters of a day on practice on Monday, and then Tuesday the day was over at 2 o'clock. You had to be off the water by rules, so really and truly we only got about a day and a quarter worth of practice.
Right.
But we had found some really good fish in practice, but the weather changed on us. It was raining and windy in practice, and we found some good fish, and it kind of changed to sunny and calm. I mean, although it was cold,
complete difference. Complete different change.
We had different weather, and we had to change up tactics, and we made some mental errors. Ended up 42nd overall out of 200, but we had a decent tournament, but it wasn't nothing like my expectations.
So it's needless to say you were ready to get home.
Oh gosh, yeah, we were home before the weigh-in ended. Yeah, it was bad.
But the guys that
end up what's so bad is the guys that end up the top three teams fish against each other.
Yeah,
fish against your partner on the final 2 days.
Right,
and the top two fished at a place that we had eliminated in practice is what was so bad because it was so windy that we couldn't fish it. So we said, we're not even going to fish there.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they wanted from. Oh, unreal.
What was? Do you know what the winning weight? What the winning weights were?
Well, it took like 38 pounds the first 2 days, 36.
Okay.
And then the final two days, they start over with their weights. And so the leader had like 17 pounds the first day and 9 pounds the second.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Well, it was so bad. Let's put it this way. It was so bad on the first day, some friends of ours were in second place with over 22 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And on the first day. And then the second day, they had six.
Had 6 pounds the second day.
Yeah. So it was fall fishing. And that's the way fall fishing is. I mean, you can get on a load and then the next day the weather changes just a little bit, the wind changes just a little bit of direction and it all changes for you.
Right. Well, hey, Rex, you know, we've had some rain here recently. Has that, you know, I'm sure it hasn't made any substantial had any substantial effect on Smith Lake or anything like that, but I guess the water's up a little bit.
It's very little. I mean, the water's up like a foot over the past 2 weeks. That's all.
Okay.
But now I fished Smith on Saturday in the rain, and I went and fished the tournament out of the dam, and it started raining. Here's what was so bad is that we blasted off at probably 6:25, and I got to my first stop, and I had to start coming out of clothes.
Oh,
and I was burning up.
Yeah.
And then an hour later, when it started raining,
he's putting it back.
I had to get back in my clothes, and it got cold.
Right.
Oh, but the fish bit like crazy. I mean, I was by myself and had right at 13 pounds, and caught probably 11 really good fish during the day. And then it took like almost 17 pound of wind, so they really bit on Friday.
Yeah.
And so I haven't been back since Friday.
Right.
I've been hibernating, but I'm doing some honey dudes to house.
I got you.
But the body's still good. The body's going to get better as it gets colder.
Okay. Now we are going to, at least everybody's saying, the next couple of nights or few days, it's going to be cold down in the teens at night. You're saying that's going to either make the fishing better, or you like fishing better when it's that?
The fishing always gets good in December on Smith Lake as the water gets colder. The water temp Saturday was 58.5. By this Saturday, it's going to be about 51,
okay.
49 to 51. So, and there is a tournament this Saturday out of the dam, not a benefit, but it's a fundraiser for a club. And there'll be 30, 40, 50 boats there, and it will be 22 degrees at Black Stock.
Wow. Are you participating in that?
Rex will not be there.
He will not be there.
I will not be there. I'm still debating, but I kind of doubt it.
Yeah. What will this cold spell do to fish? Will it, will it make them go deeper? Or
It literally puts them in their wintertime pattern. They'll get suspended 22 to 26 feet. And deeper. The jig and spoon bite has been on for the last couple of weeks. And jig and spoon, jerk baits, and spin baits or spy baiting is probably going to be your three really good tickets. And of course, a shaggy head. I caught every one of my fish but two on a shaggy head this past Saturday.
Okay.
So,
what size shaggy head?
Oh, I don't know if they make anything other than a quarter.
Quarter, okay. That's what I figured you was going to say anyway.
I'm on Smith Lake, I'm throwing a quarter. I don't, people say, well, you got to throw an 8 ounce in the winter.
Yeah.
I throw a quarter year round, and there's zero difference.
And I'm probably going to guess it was green pumpkin.
And green pumpkin, yes.
I kind of figured that. So
yeah, it was green pumpkin over green pumpkin
over
green pumpkin trailer.
Absolutely. Hey, what about top water bite? With this water getting, with this cold spell, is it going to affect that? Or
it's limited. I mean,
okay.
I caught a couple of buzzbait fish Saturday morning, but now, like I said, the water temp was 59 degrees on Saturday morning.
Right.
So it was perfect for the
top
water bite. Although that's the only two top water bite. Oh, I take it back. I had a couple of small ones out in the open water. But I had a couple of buzzbait largemouth early in the day.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I mean, still, you as long as that water is above 45, right. 48, you can get a top water bite if you're patient, know where to go.
Right.
But as a rule, you know, top water patterns is kind of with this time of year.
Yeah. When we were talking maybe, I guess, a month or so ago, where you're talking about, you know, they were just schooling like crazy, not big fish, but schooling out, you know, just in the middle of the lake, that's over for the most part.
The big schools are over, you might find a few stripe here and there, but.
Right.
But as a rule, right now, you need to get out on the long points and the humps and the boat houses with some brush piles, and they're going to be holding tight to cover right now, and that's pretty much a winter pattern.
Okay. And and like I said, that will continue on until springtime when the weather changes.
Oh, yeah. That'll go through the middle of February.
Okay. Someone wanting to fish in the winter, Rex, what do you recommend? You know, I say recommend. I'm talking about how you can keep yourself safe in the wintertime.
Well, as far as, you know, you got to, you know, dress in layers, of course, and be very, with our water down as low as it is, be very careful of launching your boat.
Right.
If you fish during the week, and especially if your boat stays outside, if I went today and I launched my boat and loaded my boat, well, guess what's happening tonight? My boat trailer is going to freeze. It's wet. It's going to be cold.
Yes.
If I go in the morning, two things are going to happen. It's either going to stick to my trailer when I put it in the water, or it's going to slide off as I'm going down the ramp.
Right.
That's something you got to be aware of, because the ramps are really steep with the water down this low.
Exactly. So
And right now you can't even put it in at the park.
Okay.
Right now,
okay.
So,
that was my next question.
They've got it. They're working on it. So they're already started on working on the ramp. So.
Okay.
So yeah, you just gotta use a little common sense and be aware of your surroundings when it's this cold. And hey, always keep an extra set of clothes in the boat in the wintertime. That's a no brainer.
Right.
I keep a pair of sweatpants and a rain suit in my locker just in case.
Yeah.
I make that misstep.
Exactly. Let me ask you this, Rex. I know you got things you got to go do, but I'll make it quick. Wintertime, do you fish by yourself very much? Or are you normally with a partner?
No, I'm usually, during the wintertime, I'm usually 80% by myself. If I'm, you know.
Okay.
Not a whole lot of guide trips in the winter, because people don't like to fight the cold.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, if I'm just going fishing, 80% of the time I'm by myself. So that's where you really have to pay attention and make sure and use a little common sense.
Gotcha. Okay. Last one, then we'll let you go. If we're at Gunnersville, what's going on there? Is it good? Is it bad? Where we need to be?
Gunnersville's actually picked up with this cooler weather. You can get in the what I call the drains, where the pockets run out to the middle of the lake.
Okay.
Most of you term anglers know what I'm talking about when I say a drain.
Right.
It's just not necessarily a creek channel or nothing. It's just where the pockets dump out into the river. And little 4.5-inch swim baits, shallow running crank baits, they're really whacking them right now. And that's probably where I'll be next week.
I got you. Okay. Well, good deal. Hey, Rex, man, like I said, I know you're busy. You got things you got to go do, but we do appreciate very much you joining us each week. Thanks. We just love hearing from you. Hey, one quick one, and you've done this the last two times, but I want you to touch on it real quickly, is people getting ready to winterize their boat. It's going to get cold the next couple nights. What do they need to do to take care of their boat?
Number one thing, protect that lower unit in case it's got some water in it. Either keep it warm or drain it, one or two.
Okay.
And then just make sure the water's out of your lines, out of your pump out system, out of your aerators. That's going to be your second and third biggest problems it's going to mess up when it freezes.
Good deal. Number one, make sure there's no water in that foot.
That's what costs you the most money.
You got that right. Hey, got one more thing here for you. Jason wrote this down. The last defensive player to win the Heisman was in 1997. It was Charles Woodson.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking somebody from Michigan won.
Yeah, 1997.
Yep.
All right.
Like I said, that's a travesty.
You got that right. All right, Rex. Hey, thanks, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Y'all have a great
one. All right. There's our fishing buddy, Mr. Rex Chambers, our local guy, local expert, pro, whatever you want to call him. I'm sure if you want to fish, you can find him on Facebook, but as he said, not many people want to battle it during the winter. It is 5:49 here at Sports Talk Live. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Friday, December 9th at the Coleman Civic Center. The music, the moves, the memories of the King lives on. Christmas with Elvis, the ultimate tribute event as Stephen Freeman performs Elvis's Christmas gospel and rock and roll hits live on stage. Advance tickets on sale at KingTributeLive.com and the Coleman Civic Center. One night with you, Coleman, to prove Elvis is still the king. Don't miss Christmas with Elvis at the Coleman Civic Center, Friday, December 9th at 7:30. Visit KingTributeLive.com for more information.
Hey, guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I'd like to invite you to our Christmas concert Monday, December 12th at 7 p.m. in the Betty Leith Haynes Theater at Wallace State College. This concert is part of the Coleman Community Concert Association series. This year's program is shaping up to be the best yet. There will be something for everyone. Be sure to bring the kids because Santa plans to make an appearance. Again, the concert is Monday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at Wallace State College. Admission is free. Canned food donations will be accepted for Coleman Caring for Kids.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Derek Scudder. Recent showers and storms across much of Alabama have eased the severe drought, but experts say it wasn't enough to make up for months of dry conditions before the rain finally fell. The National Drought Mitigation Center says the recent rains helped to the short term, but more than half the state is classified under extreme drought. Sheriff's deputies say a 26-year-old Coleman County man is accused of sending pornographic pictures over the Internet. Ray Schultz is charged with displaying obscene material to a minor. During a search warrant at his home, sheriff's investigators seized several of Schultz's electronic devices, and additional charges may follow. Former Alabama Congressman Artur Davis is the new executive director of Legal Services Alabama. The organization provides legal assistance to low-income Alabamians. The previous director retired. Davis represented Alabama's 7th District in Washington from 2003 to 2010. He unsuccessfully ran for governor and mayor of Montgomery. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Neither foul play nor suicide is suspected in the carbon monoxide poisoning deaths of two men whose bodies were found in a vehicle adjacent to a home in Albertville. The bodies of 23-year-old Colby Lang and 22-year-old Shelton Box were sent to the Alabama Department of Forensic Science to rule out any other possible causes of death. Authorities believe the bodies have been there since late Friday night or early Saturday morning. Police say a 4-year-old girl has been wounded by gunfire outside a Birmingham restaurant. The shooting happened about 8:45 last night as the girl and her parents were reportedly backing into a parking space when they heard shots and their car windows shattered. They drove to a nearby service station where they realized the little girl in a car seat in the back seat had been hit in the leg. Police say she's expected to be okay. For the second time in a row, Mobile has been named a manufacturing community. The U.S. Department of Commerce is redesignating Southwest Alabama as a manufacturing community until 2018. That designation gives Mobile an edge when applying for grants. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News. In money news, after a quiet start, the major stock indices resumed their climb into record territory. Banks and basic material companies make the biggest gains, and technology companies also climbed. Defense contractors and other industrial companies took losses. Energy companies and oil traded higher. Higher stock prices and home values have driven up Americans' net worth. The Federal Reserve says real estate values increased $554 billion from July through September, while Americans' stock and mutual fund portfolios rose $494 billion. Total household wealth, which includes checking and savings accounts and subtracts mortgages and other debt, increased 1.8% during the quarter to $90.2 trillion. Leonardo DiCaprio is pitching clean energy jobs to President-elect Donald Trump. DiCaprio Foundation CEO Terry Tamiman said Trump was shown an outline of how investing in clean and renewable energy could create millions of American jobs. I'm Derek Scudder. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
We be jamming. 5:54 run, mate.
Getting close to time to go get some supper.
And while the news was being given, I've come up with a good idea, and we're going to do this next Thursday.
Oh.
Ronnie's hearing this for the first time,
yeah,
just like all of you
are. A little bit leery.
If you are one of our female listeners, lady listeners, you have a husband who is into sports, fishing, hunting, whatever, be sure to listen in next Thursday. Oh. We're going to give you some ideas on what you might get your man for Christmas.
Is that right?
A little teaser,
huh?
That's right. We're going to give you some ideas what he might be interested in. You don't want to ask him.
Yeah.
And now we're not going to hit it right on the nose, but we'll give you some things that guys are interested in getting. You know, anybody can get a pair of socks.
That's right.
But when we start getting into the hunting, fishing, sporting stuff, a lot of times the ladies feel intimidated.
Okay.
And so we're going to help you out. Oh. So be sure to listen next Thursday.
Just as a community service.
Community service.
Oh,
and Kathy and Karen can listen if they want to. So.
That's very kind of you, Jason. So there you go, ladies. Jason will have some clues for you next week.
And Ronnie will too.
And I will too. Okay, exactly. Okay.
You're not going to throw it all in my lap.
Thank you for drafting me into that. Oh, man. Hey, Jason, you know, the ladies that we heard a few minutes ago, apparently it is now official, or maybe unofficially official.
Unofficially official.
Unofficially official that Lane Kiffin will be possibly, potentially, going to the Houston Cougars as their next head coach. So my question to you is, before we have to get out of here, with Lane Kiffin leaving, Nick Saban will have to be looking for another OC or offensive coordinator.
That'll be Ronnie Barnes.
Yeah, exactly. Who would you say would be someone who, and I'm putting you on the spot.
I'd say he's already on staff.
That's what I was saying as well. Mr. Sarkisian.
Yep.
Unless there's something going on that we don't know about, you know, with them personally.
Saban may have seen this coming and may have been the reason he hired him to start.
He may have. And, you know, Kiffin learned what he has learned came through the pipeline of Sarkisian as well. So, that was kind of his mentor.
Let me ask you one. The over under on number of weeks before we have a report on him being drunk somewhere is 7. So,
Sarkisian, you're saying? I say under.
He has been known to hit the bottom.
Yeah. But hopefully, you know, maybe he's beyond that. He's been given a golden opportunity just to be doing what he's doing now. And he's not on the field coaching. He's just, you know, one of the guys behind the scenes that, you know, does evaluations and probably helps scheme and all those kind of things that go into getting ready for a football game. But I agree with you, Jason. I think unless there's something going on that none of us know about, that he possibly could be the next offensive coordinator at Alabama. Nothing's going to change. I mean, they're going to be you know, just as good, so it's not going to make any difference. So,
Alabama really need an offense?
Is Auburn going to win the Sugar Bowl?
No.
Yes. I just said yes because Ronnie said no.
And it's not that I wouldn't want Auburn to win, because I do, but for no other reason than it's SEC.
You know,
the SEC needs to make a statement, because
you know what Oklahoma does to teams out of the state of Alabama.
Boy, they own
the Sugar Bowl.
Hey, you look through their history, Oklahoma owns the SEC. That's another reason I'm picking Oklahoma.
What are the entertainers saying, Jason?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But how much?
What was it, 4.5?
I think that's what it was, 4.5 right now. So, you know, will that change much? I don't know. But I'm picking Oklahoma. I don't want to, but I am.
Does Gus keep his job, or does he become school bus driver?
Gus is safer than we are.
Yeah, well, he keeps his job for another year.
Oh, yeah.
I think if Gus goes and repeats this again at 7-8 wins.
Year.
Nah, I don't know.
I believe 8 will keep him.
Forever?
Forever and ever, amen.
at Auburn is satisfied with eight wins every year.
I don't think he keeps it.
Glad I could help y'all fill your show there.
Exactly.
All right. It is supper time. That's what it is. 5 seconds until. So supper time. We are going to get out of here. We will be back 1 week from today.
That's right.
Again, one day a week now. So 1 week from today, Sports Talk Live will be back.
That's right.
Until then, let me leave you with a big go Houston Cougars.
All right, I'll leave you with a Roll Tide.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Cullman.